one thing we did talk about earlier is that we definitely want to have this baby growing up seeing the world. We do want to experience things because we've experienced things that's changed our life. And I think, you know, one of the issues I think that we're having now, you know, especially in this Western world, is kind of appreciating, you know, the world outside of our own, you know, comfort zone. And I think that, to me, is the key to successful living.
Hi, friends. Something a little different on the pod today. Usually I chat with moms or experts that have already walked the road that I'm embarking on. A chance for me to learn from them. Today, a little different. We're going to hang with the cool kids. You may know Fitz Henley from his widely popular Instagram account, Fitz World Citizen, or maybe you know him as Fox 5's resident travel and adventure expert. Today, I introduce you to Fitz, the soon-to-be dad. He and his ridiculously gorgeous girlfriend, Kelsey Adams, aka Cool Kelsey on Instagram, are expecting. Kelsey is no social slouch. She is a style and travel model as well as an adventure seeker. We talk about God's plan, home births, parenting in the digital age, and the importance of raising a world citizen. This is All Good in the Motherhood with Teresa Priolo. I'm so excited to have you guys in today. I follow Fitz online, and I know that you've been a big part of the Fox 5 newsroom, but now we get to welcome you into the family as well. You come with him, and now you're baby too. So for those who don't follow you guys or maybe aren't familiar, just tell us a little bit about yourself so people can kind of get clued in. Fitz, you can start.
Well, I'm Fitz Henley. I wear a few hats. I've had many careers over my
literally
life.
One right now, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Bad hair day.
Yeah.
But was an athlete before. Played a year and a half of pro baseball in Florida. Moved on to being a chef when I moved to New York, and then got into hip hop music, and then ultimately kind of what I do now, which is film and photography. And then the latest installment is journalism and modeling, actually, which came out of the blue.
That's everything. Talk to a Renaissance man.
Well, jack of all trades, master of none is what I like to say, but my mother would definitely say Renaissance man.
Yeah. All right, Kelsey. And for myself, I am a model, and I also run a lifestyle blog. So I basically share my personal style, my travels, and all that good stuff on there. And that's mostly what I do.
And mm-hmm. Expectant mom.
Expecting mom. Yeah, that's going to be the new journey.
We'll get into that. It is a ride and a half. How far along are you?
I'm 6 months right now.
Okay, and how do you feel?
I feel amazing. Went through the usual, you know, first 3 months of like rocky stuff, the tiredness, the nausea, all that good stuff. But then after that, it's really just been a breeze. It's been smooth sailing. I feel really good, super energetic, and just kind of just want to do a little bit of everything now.
Yeah. Isn't it incredible? I feel bad that the dads, or if you are somebody who is in a same-sex partnership, the other partner can't experience it. But, like, it is a super awesome thing to feel this being move inside of you.
Yeah, it's insane. And now I'm finally at that point where I can actually see, like, the little movements in my stomach, too. So I'm like,
are you freaked out by it?
Not quite freaked out, because I know that my freak-out moment is going to happen when the baby comes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm biding my time. I'm holding it all in. And it's still amazing and new, and I'll probably pass out in the delivery room.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Many a dad has.
Yeah. I wouldn't be the first, at least.
Although, my husband will tell you, he said, this advice he got from his best friend in the delivery, just don't look. That was his motto. So, not that I remember it, because I was, like, doing my thing.
Yeah.
But he said, he's like, I was burning, like, holes in your eyes just staring at you so closely because I refused to see what was happening. I'm like, come on, it's life.
Right. Well, I'm a looker, so I'm not sure I'll be able to do that. But she's been trying to prep me by sending me videos of birthing moments.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
definitely done that.
Yeah, and it's from the videos, it hasn't been as bad as I thought it was going to be, although I haven't made it through a whole video yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes down to that moment is when it will really change for me. Yeah. As a lot of dads say, you know, it's pregnancy is a mother's time to be this, you know, amazing creature, giving birth to this another amazing creature and have it inside them. And then when it comes out, it becomes more real for us dads is what the word on the street is.
That is true. And depending on how quick or slow her labor is, you might have a lot of time to come to grips with that moment. Or it might happen so fast, you're like, what the hell
My
just
sister
happened?
Was a 39-hour labor.
Okay, I had a really quick labor. And I did have an epidural, which we can talk about what your drug choices are if you're going to go that route. I can only tell you that I would recommend it.
Yeah.
All of them. Anything they're willing to give you. I was like, and then another one. And another one. Where's the next round?
Keep them coming.
Yeah. But I had a fantastic labor, and it was really fast, but I also didn't feel anything. Mm. So my son came out like, it was like a slip and slide, and it was great. And I was so excited because I was like, this is so much better than I was so scared about it.
Yeah.
But a lot of women have a plan in their mind and they think to themselves, like, this is how I want this to go. I didn't. I said, get the baby out safely and try not to make it hurt. Those are my two prerequisites. So have you guys talked about, in terms of the labor and delivery process, have you talked about what you want? Do you have, like, very clear ideas of how this is going to go?
We have talked about it. We're still kind of, like, in this deciding phase, which I know we need to kind of hurry up and decide on at this point.
A couple months.
But we're, you know, have been more so exploring the idea of having a home birth as well. Mm. That's our first choice if all goes well and everything's super safe and
so you're not getting drugs is what you're saying. If you go the home birth
and it, that would be the first option, you know, and then of course if that doesn't work out, then, you know, we'll do what we have to do if we have to go to the hospital.
So whose we'll idea see. Is this? Like, so I'm so interested by people who decide to go I was petrified of labor. I'm open about it. I was like, just please get this thing out safely. Like, and I didn't even know what I was having. I was like, just don't make it 9 pounds and make it not hurt. Yeah. Oh, you were a 9 pound baby?
I was a 9 pound, 6 ounce baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that.
But I was a 6 hour labor. So
okay,
I was,
so that's quick.
I was quick. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just so interested. So what is it about home birth and medication-free birth that excites you guys? Like, what is it about that you think this is the right choice for me?
For me, I like when things are as natural as possible, when there's not as much probing and just unnecessary things, because it's like, this is what people have been doing since the beginning of time, you know? And I don't feel that everything should be toyed with, you know, if everything is healthy and safe.
Yeah, of course.
Now, if there's anything, any question about where something could, you know, go wrong, if whatever, take me to the hospital.
Get me there.
That's
quick.
Not something I want to gamble with at home. But that's my biggest thing. Is like, I just want to be comfortable at home with people that I love, and then just an environment that just feels good, versus being like rushed out of the hospital. Okay, time to go now. You gotta go. Time to get out of here. Like, I want to be comfortable.
And hospitals.
So that's what it is.
Admittedly, can be really sterile environments.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean, they really can. It's a procedure. It's a good one won't make it feel like a factory, but at the end of the day, kind of, it's a factory.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Like, get it in, get it out, get going.
Yeah. We had some friends of ours who are very close family friends of mine who are an older couple. The husband is a surgeon. I won't tell you what kind of a surgeon because it's a whole other story, but. The wife is a breastfeeding specialist.
And so, lactation specialist.
Yes. So when we first found out, I wanted to, A, introduce them because, you know, these people have been a close part of my life for a very long time, but also, you know, pick their brain about, you know, what we should do. And that couple actually is a really good way to show us what to do, because the mother is more holistic. The father obviously works in a hospital.
Western medicine, right.
Yeah, but they have this unique compromise. And so out of that conversation, one of the things that really stuck with us is that the percentage of C-sections goes up 45% in a hospital. You know, and that's not something we can't consider or should not consider, because she's a model and, you know, a good bulk of her work comes from bathing suits, bikinis.
Looking hot as hell.
Looking damn hot.
And she is just as beautiful now with or without baby. But yeah, you got to consider that.
We had to consider it. And we still are considering. And like she said, we probably need to get on it. But I mean, that was a factor that I didn't want to have happen just because, you know, a doctor or you know, somebody just wanted to rush it through and didn't want to have any liability.
Right, right.
In the scenario, as opposed to that more natural, you know, birth.
Yeah. It's so interesting because here in the city, I think in big metropolitan areas, the C-section rate is a lot higher, right? For a lot of reasons. This is what my physician told me. Number one, we're busy women, and busy women want to schedule things.
Yeah.
And my doctor actually asked me, do you want to schedule a C-section? And I looked at him like he had seven heads. I was like, what? I said, I'm not going to schedule major surgery for no reason. He said, I just give you the option.
Wow.
Because so many women do it. And I thought, I don't want that. Absolutely I actually do. Not. I don't. I was like you in the sense of, I told my doctor when he said, "What's your plan?" And I said, "My plan is, as I said, get this baby out. Do not make it hurt." And I do not want a C-section unless it is medically necessary. If I right. need to go that route, I will go that route. And many babies, thankfully, are born that way because yeah. the alternative
is much worse.
Years ago, 100 years ago, would yeah. have been for that mom or that baby to die. Right. So yeah. this is a super safe way to get a baby out should you need to. But I'm like, yeah. I'm not electing to be sliced and diced right. just because. I would like yeah. to try to do this the safest and most normal way possible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But a lot of women do schedule it. So I appreciate that you're kind of thinking about that because a lot of moms don't even think about that. And a lot of dads don't get involved in the conversation
yeah.
about that.
True. Yeah.
True.
You mentioned breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you're thinking about?
Absolutely. my mother also breastfed me too. So that's just, you know, there's obviously keeping things natural once again typically tends to outweigh benefits versus anything else. Mm-hmm. So that's just one thing that I would absolutely prefer to do. Hopefully that works out as well too.
Yeah, you'll find, and you'll be super instrumental in this, Fitz. Like, I found this, a lot of moms say, it is the thing that everybody tells you is the most natural,
yeah.
yet it is the most unnatural.
Mm.
And I only say that not to scare you, but to tell you that if it doesn't work the first time,
yeah.
if you're a week in and you're like, this sucks,
yeah.
it hurts, I'm tired, it's not working, my milk's not in, or whatever,
yeah.
that happens to so many women who actually go on to breastfeed for many, many months, if not years afterwards.
Yeah.
It's for some reason we have society have pushed this
yeah.
thing that it's the most natural, but there are so many resources out there.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so many husbands, boyfriends, partners don't understand how important they are in making sure that she's successful at it, which is kind of cool, I think.
Yeah.
Because dads need to get to know the baby, and unfortunately, we grow yeah. these babies for so long
yeah.
that when it's only when the baby comes that you can get to know the child.
Yeah.
yeah.
Fitz, is that something that you have sort of tried to mentally prepare yourself for, like what it's like to actually be the dad?
You know, I can't say that I've sat down and said, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and that. And not to equivocate owning a pet, but I mean,
it's the first thing. It's yeah. like it.
I've been in care of a soul for a long time, right? And so, you know, wanting to be there in the morning when they wake up and make sure they're okay and, you know, make sure they get enough rest is all something that's kind of ingrained in me anyway. I know it's going to change dramatically when you know, the thing I'm taking care of isn't furry.
Yeah. Well, it will be furry. It just won't be an animal.
Right, exactly.
That's another surprise. you'll find.
But I think I'm kind of waiting for that shock moment, as I do with most things in my life. I just kind of, when it comes, and you know, I'm not a plan guy, so to speak. And, you know, certain folks in my life would say, you got to get your stuff together, man. but I've always kind of just kind of operated on, okay, this happens, I'm going to deal with it now, and you know, try to make the best decisions moving forward. And I think it's beginning to be a little bit of the same with the baby, as I'm realizing that, you know, my interaction with the baby is very limited now, because I'm just kind of yelling and saying, hey, baby, how you doing? And kissing the belly. But then it becomes really real when I can, you know, put my hands on the baby and hold it and really care for it and,
yeah.
you know, be a protector and, you know, a guidance giver, even from that early age.
Yeah.
So I'm winging it right now.
So as far as planning goes, was this the plan?
Oh,
yes and no.
Did you see
yes.
that?
Our producer, Matt, did you see that look? Yeah, I saw it too.
There was a plan.
It's the thing. I say yes and no. We both wanted it. We just didn't know it was going to come now.
Ah, okay.
You know, so that's like, you know, we were going to be happy whether it happened this year or in 2 or 3 years. It just wasn't what we were planning for this year.
So we weren't trying.
Yeah, we weren't.
We weren't trying, and there's a funny story about that.
Do tell.
Well, we were in Woodstock, New York, camping out with some friends. It was a friend of ours' birthday. And we had a very celebratory night, and everybody was having a great time. And it was like the one time mm-hmm. that we yeah. decided, you know what?
Yep.
I don't even think she had anything to do with it. It was my decision. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, hey.
It's usually the guy's fault. No, just kidding.
Yeah. And so and after, and I'm a bit older, I'm 40, and so there's, you know, there's real concern about if I can, and you know, all these things. And like a couple weeks later, I think we were we're in Mexico. Like,
we're in Mexico, yeah.
A few weeks, I don't know, about 3 weeks later or something like that.
We're in
Mexico,
that, yeah.
and we're eating tacos, and you know, we had a couple beers, and you know, we're living our best lives, and we're working out at the same time. And so, you know, usually she's a very fit woman, and her waist is like, you know, nothing. And so this whole time that we're in Mexico, I'm just kind of like looking at her belly, and I'm like, either like she went and raided the tortilla factory.
Oh no.
Or like, we definitely have a baby in there. Yeah. And she was like in denial for a while, and you know, she told me every now and then, she just catch me glancing at her belly, just like, and then looking at her like, and she's like, no, it's not. I've been eating a lot. And it happened. So sniper is a word I might use. I've definitely used that before. I don't know if it's appropriate. But I didn't think it was going to be like, happens with such efficiency.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Such efficiency. Yeah.
And it did. It did. And we're super happy because, you know, for me, I've always wanted a child, and you know, I knew from very early on that, you know, though we weren't married and though we hadn't talked about it, like, she was the woman that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with and have a child with. And so for me, it was like, even before we knew, you know, I had known.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we're having a kid. I was pretty nonchalant about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So no freak out. No freak out on your
behalf.
None.
I was more surprised than he was.
Choose it.
Honestly.
Denial
so
could
what
be
did
a
you
word.
Denial. I was in denial.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you. I was in full denial. You know? I was sweating profusely. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, for me, it's like, okay, we were traveling. Okay. So my thing is, every time we travel somewhere, we enter a different time zone, we're eating different types of foods, it always affects my cycle. Always, you know, so I'm like, okay, it'll come a little late or it'll just be a little off because, you know, just traveling just does that to your body sometimes. And this was one of those cases where it was right around that time. I was like, no, it's definitely not that. I think I just ate a lot. I'm super bloated.
How many tacos would you have to eat, Kelsey?
I don't know.
How many vats of guacamole?
That's what it was, you know, and then, you know, there was a part of me that was like, no, I'm not going to do a test. And then I ended up just doing it and told him I wasn't going to do it.
In
Mexico? And then just did it upstairs. No, as soon as we got back home, we were home for about maybe 2 or 3 days before we went. We're going to Alaska. And I was like, oh, let me just, I'm already at the store. Let me just grab it. I went and did it upstairs. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That's wrong.
It was a non-event for me.
Three more times.
The plus meant to be a minus.
Yeah.
They got it wrong.
Is this thing on? Is this thing working?
Right. Yeah.
But what did you think was happening with your body in terms of showing? Because if he noticed that there were some curves that in places where curves had not been before, you're a model. So you had to have been in tune with the fact that your body was changing in some way.
I just thought I was a little bloated, you know, like, because that's, you know, I get bloated sometimes, especially like right before like my period starts and everything. I was like, oh, I'm just a little bloated. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then it didn't go away. Yeah. So that's what it
not
was.
Not for 9 months.
Yeah.
Nope. Hell of a blow.
Yeah. It just got worse.
Yeah. Some bad tacos. No.
Yeah.
So this is what you said. It's right before a trip to Alaska.
Yeah.
So you were about to hop right on another plane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So how did we handle that? You just went?
We went, and it was really good because part of what I do outside of the news is I'm a spokesman for the National Park Service. And so I basically highlight African-American culture within the whole structure of the national parks. But the team that I work with there, aside from the rangers and things like that, are all women, all mothers. They've kind of taken me in as kind of like a son, and I've kind of taken them in like, not as a parent, but like
big brother,
a sister.
Maybe? Yeah,
because I'm, you know, like I say, I'm not super young.
For the record, you are young.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
People are living a lot longer these days, Fitz.
They are. You know, people have been telling me that for so long. But I knew it was going to be an extremely nurturing time because, you know, this group of women that I've been working with, you know, were just the best. I mean, they were so on point as far as anything you would need emotionally. Like, even if I was having trouble with my lines, I mean, they wouldn't, you know, act as a producer. They would act as a mother. Like, And so I knew it was a really good scenario for her to be in. It was the first time she met everybody.
Oh, that's really nice.
And it just so happens to be one of the most gorgeous places in the world. I mean, it's breathtaking. Like, and so I was happy about the whole, you know, situation. She's going to go there. We're going to have support. You know, get to introduce her to all the aunts and uncles, and you know, and she has a story already. You know, she's already been to multiple countries. Yeah. And so,
the baby, of course.
The baby, yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And Kelsey, too. But
absolutely. So, I mean, I was ready for her to be there with this team of people that I call family.
I would imagine for you, Kelsey, it also must have been, like, the beginning of my pregnancy, like I said, it was a shock. We were not expecting this to happen. I mean, yeah. We are married and things can happen, and maybe we weren't taking all the precautions that we should have been taking. But lo and behold, one rainy weekend, and I have a 20-month-old baby.
But those so weekends.
Those weekends. Happens to the best of us. So we had not, as I said, not been planning, but like I remember the surge of emotions in that beginning time, like those first couple weeks. Actually, not only when you don't know you're pregnant, but now when you find out you're pregnant. Yeah. And it's like not only a surge of hormones, but also for me, I was so emotional just like thinking about what does this child mean and where are we going to take it, him or her, and what kind of mom am I going to be? And
yeah.
I don't even have my shit together, so how am I going to do this? And like, holy hell.
Yeah.
You know, like I can't even like make oatmeal. How am I going to comfort? Like everything was running through my mind.
Yeah.
But I remember we went away too not long after, and I felt like I'm not necessarily somebody who's one with nature, but I felt like a very deep connection to my environment.
Mm.
And I don't know if it was the hormones or I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But I would think that Alaska is a beautiful place to kind of come to terms with the next phase of your life.
Yeah.
Majestic.
Majestic is a great word to use. It was, I mean, as a first time there for both of us, it was really breathtaking, honestly. And it was just like, I could feel that it was a new chapter being in that kind of place. That just kind of amplified that emotion, kind of the same of what you were explaining.
But were you also vomiting all over the place?
No, okay. I was just,
because that would make a really pretty place a little less pretty.
However, when we did get there, we were kind of forced to take a what is that thing called? Yeah, forced to take a ferry.
Oh, that's great.
From the airport to
the planes
to Skagway.
Where we're going. We're very fickle. So if it's
there was a little storm there when we landed.
We just cancel it all. Yeah. So we had to go from like an hour plane ride to like a 5 hour.
Yeah.
Ferry ride.
But a 5 hour ferry
five
ride.
5 hours
of bouncing and bouncing.
Yeah, that's great.
Because it was, you know, kind of storming a little bit.
Welcome
during
to
the Yeah, it was like, great. So that was the one rough ride I had in Alaska. But outside of that, it was really, really, really amazing.
So you said that the baby, this little girl, has already been to a few places. But now as parents, have you guys figured out how you're going to work your careers and travel into this baby's life? I mean, it seems like travel is really important to the both of you. So what does that mean for the baby?
Well, what we would like to do is to try to keep our lives as normal as possible without having to alter it, you know, too much. But obviously, a lot of that is unpredictable. We would love to have a traveling baby, you know?
Because like there are a lot of Instagram accounts of people who I'm amazed.
Absolutely.
They just get up and go.
Yeah.
And they've got multiple kids. There's like a whole football team and they all just go with them.
I don't know how they're doing that with multiple kids. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the next
chapter. We're trying to figure that out for one.
It's like they're bringing the radio wagon along.
Basically.
The radio flyer wagon along just to house the kids.
Yeah. We have to figure that part out for sure. But I think that's going to be another one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But the plan is to take her as many places we could possibly go. We want it to be a well-traveled, super cool, just another cool baby.
For me, travel is not just, you know, vacation. For me, it's, you know, it's a necessity in, you know, the human existence. To be able to learn about other cultures, it makes you appreciate your own culture more.
Yeah.
You know, you figure out different ways to do the thing you've been doing for so long. And, you know, just kind of bringing the world into a smaller place, I think, is more beneficial than it's not. And, you know, one thing we did talk about earlier is that we definitely want to have this baby growing up seeing the world and learning new things. And, you know, I throw the word out there, Laura Croft, Tomb Raider. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't have to be Tomb Raider, but, pretty close, you know, and
pretty
you know, a lot.
We're aiming for Tomb Raider.
We're aiming for Tomb Raider. You know, if she only has one axe and one rappel, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
No, but we do want to experience things because we've experienced things that's changed our lives.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the issues I think that we're having now, you know, especially in this Western world, is kind of appreciating, you know, the world outside of our own,
yeah.
you know, comfort zone. And I think that, to me, is the key to successful living. And being happy because, mm-hmm. you know, you have, let's say you have X amount of materials and you're stressing because we do this in the Western world. You yeah. know, we have a car, we have some thousands of dollars in the bank. We actually have a really good life, but we say, oh man, I don't have this, I don't have that. We start thinking about the things we don't have. And
yeah.
and then you go to places and you see that people are happy and joyful, you know,
yeah.
with dramatically less. And so it becomes less about the material, less about what you have, and more about the experience and how you open yourself up to learning about new things, new people, new places. And that's something that, you know, if I had to put my foot down on anything, it would be this baby has to be raised
yeah.
internationally.
Yeah.
Does that mean leaving the city? Because you guys are Brooklyn-based, right?
Yeah, we're in Brooklyn.
So does that mean leaving New York?
You mean like moving?
Yeah. Like relocating to some other place in the world?
I think later on, not immediately, because both of our kind of careers are kind of pretty much here right now, or based in a city. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, he was saying...
I mean, the fortunate thing we have about living in New York City is that New York City is a microcosm of the world,
yeah. Yeah.
as it could be,
yeah.
right? Which, you know, Jewish people and Palestinian people work together, you know, and black and white people have to work together, and all these things that we consider to be not... you know, a cohesive mix of cultures, you know, when it push comes to shove and they have to, and they're not, you know, divided by politics or borders or anything like that, we make it happen here. And so for me, you know, as long as, you know, we're not taking the baby out too early, you know, not
yeah.
newborn
right.
kind
yeah.
of
within
stuff,
reason.
But and New York is a great kind of incubator for the world, you
yeah.
know. And we both grew up in the South in the country, and, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, living there as well. And so I think mm-hmm. at some point we want to, you know, have a, you know, a country baby, but also we want to have that baby be able to move in the circles of the city and,
yeah.
you know, international circles and intellectual circles and, you know, quite yeah. frankly, you know, being without material,
yeah.
you know, because I think it makes you appreciate what you have and what other people don't have as well.
Yeah. You know, that's, I really agree with that too. Ever since I started traveling and I left my corporate job, it was maybe almost 2 years ago now, just being around different types of people and these cultures and just, it taught me so much more about life
yeah.
than that wasn't taught to me before, you know? So I'm like, God, I've missed how many years of
yeah.
learning these, you know, these unteachable moments. And that's become something that's really important to me. And I think the earlier that, you know, you expose children to that, they do have more empathy and appreciation and just, I think, more well-being in life because, you know, the way that we are, like you were saying, like in the Western world, like what is happiness? Happiness is just a moment before you need more happiness.
Yeah.
You know, you just live in these moments of like, you know, I'm happy, but then, okay, now what? You
right.
know?
On
so
to the next,
instead
right.
of just having this consistent joy about life and... I don't know. Yeah, I think that travel really is. I don't want to say everything, but
I would
it
say
kinda
it's everything.
Is
I believe that. I've had those moments that you guys are talking about,
yeah.
and I did get a chance to travel a little bit as a kid. But obviously, the vast majority of travel that I've done is as
yeah.
as an adult who's paying my own way.
Yeah, yeah,
footing that bill. And I've had it a few times, but one time that like sticks out that you guys are talking about is my husband and I. It was a honeymoon, but a belated honeymoon, so 1 year anniversary trip. We went to South Africa.
Nice.
And I can honestly tell you, never in my life have I felt like the spirit of a people and just almost like a heart-to-heart connection
yeah.
that I didn't grow up the way that they grew up, especially when we were out on safari and we went to a safari in a region called Madikwe, which is by Johannesburg. So I was away from all metropolitan areas. I could like see in the distance there were lights, but you know how it goes when you're in those kind of situations. And I just kept thinking, I didn't grow up like you. you speak my language, I don't speak yours. Mm. You know, we didn't grow up eating the same food. We weren't raised the same way. There's literally nothing about us that is similar, except now everything is similar. And I remember they were singing as we went onto the property, and I was crying. My husband's like, get your shit together. And I'm like, it's so beautiful. And I just feel like he's like, they're not, it's not even English. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. I mean, he took a video of it. It's been 6 years. I haven't watched the video because I'm like, I will cry.
Yeah.
You know, and when I was there, I saw other kids on the property from other parents that were visiting. And some of those kids who were a little bit older would let their parents the kids go out on safari alone with a trusted guide. Mm. And I just kept thinking to myself, like, how amazing for this child who's 7 or 8 to get up at 4 a.m., they had to do it on their own. They had to get up on their own. They had to go meet the guide, go out on their own, try to spot the animals. And I just kept thinking, like, how amazing for these kids that they're being given the opportunity to see life in this way, to absorb this kind of good energy and spirit. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I always said, if we have the opportunity, our son will experience this. Yeah. Like, if we can scrimp enough pennies together to do it, like, we will do it. Yeah. Because I think it's so important for kids to experience the world, especially today, outside of the city.
And outside of the gram and outside of
social
media.
Yeah, but I'm saying the world of technology, too. Yeah.
Because we can put our eyes on pictures from other places, but until you're there and you know, meet somebody, like you said, from there and realize you have all these things in common when not outwardly so.
Yeah.
But inwardly. And to experience. I think experience is the biggest factor that we want to instill on our child is, you know, you may not like traveling, you may not like anything that we've taught you, but you're going to experience it, right. You know, and you're not going to be that person that's, you know, in their late 30s and said, no, I never did that, or I've never gone there, or I never did that.
Yeah,
I would much more appreciate it if I said, yeah, I did that, but not my thing.
Yeah,
I found my thing, and this is my thing, but I don't want our baby to say I've never done that.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree with you. In terms of social media, you guys both have big social media presence, and mm-hmm. you've said your job is a public job. So what are you going to do with the baby? Will your daughter have a social media presence? Have you already created an Instagram handle? Will you not be showing her face? How have you guys talked about that? How that'll work out?
We haven't really figured that out.
But we're about to have the conversation.
We're about to have it now.
Everybody sit tight.
You know, there is a part of me that, like, okay, my Instagram is mostly just, like, business, you know? I don't really share a whole lot of personal information. So I kind of do need to come to grips with, like, what exactly do I want to do with the baby? Because, you know, social media is basically my bread and butter, you know?
Yeah.
So should the kid be that?
As it is for so many.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was, like, I was having this conversation with somebody. They were like, oh, you know, there's people who believe that, you know, having an Instagram for your baby and making money off of them is like pimping the kid out. And then I thought about it. I was like, is there really any difference than putting your child in acting classes and dance classes and getting them to do all these things that you want them to do?
You're
grooming. Yeah, but I'm saying you're grooming the kid how you think they should come out. But the kid isn't in the place to make the decision for themselves. So you kind of, like, place these things in their life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and I thought about it. I was like, I don't really find anything wrong with that because there really is no fine difference in what creative space you choose to put them in, because ultimately you're still choosing it and they're not.
And you're probably going to post the picture anyway, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So you might as well make some money off of it.
Exactly my point. It's just like, you know, in a perfect world, I would like to do this and be able to have some kind of fund for our girl, so she can, you know, learn the idea of making money, saving money, doing all these things, and having something in place. So, like, everything's just not a struggle, you know. So I would like to start that early, so she's making her own money from the beginning.
I think as long as there's no. You know, privacy issues to where we're crossing a line.
Right.
I think ultimately this is what today's world is all about. It's about showing who you are, putting it out there, and doing it responsibly. You know, some people put out whatever they want, you know, naked pictures, you know, crazy pictures, bloody pictures, all these different things, when any one of those could be seen as a good or a bad thing depending on who is viewing it. Mm-hmm. I think for us, as long as, you know, if everything is done in good taste, mm-hmm. I think it's fair game. And to your point, you know, about, you know, raising a small model, potentially, there's a responsibility factor. You know, like, I have friends who are models and have gotten their kids into modeling just kind of by default. But then their children are working, they're contributing, they're putting money into their college coffers, as opposed to the old school way, which is, you know, the parents just do it all. And if you're blessed with the ability to do that, I think, why not, if done in a tasteful way?
Yeah.
And I think we probably would do it in a tasteful way because we're both pretty considerate people, I think, especially when it comes down to, like, you know, our pride and joy and things we really care about. So I don't have a problem putting it out there, putting the pregnancy out there. You know, I don't know if we'll be showing videos of changing diapers, anything like that, which I've seen.
Those get a lot of likes.
They do get a lot of likes, you know, but do then I want my baby coming back, you know, 15 years later and be like,
what is this?
Why is this on my feet?
And then you turn around and say, because look what you did to me.
Yeah.
Because this is what I did to you. Look what you did
Buck
to
up,
me.
Shorty.
Hold on, let me get the list.
Yeah. So I think we want to, as long as they're comfortable, as long as the child is comfortable and we're not doing anything that could be perceived as or actually be detrimental to the baby's future.
Are you guys concerned about how the world will react to the baby? Meaning, like, you, since you're models and because you have models is one of your many jobs, and because you have such a strong social media presence, you probably can see how vile people can be, right? You read the comments, and although you both are beautiful, I'm sure people still find something to complain about sometimes, right?
Yeah,
it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of parents say they're concerned about exposing their kid to that, you know, especially because social media is such a huge part, you know, really, the internet in general is just such a huge part of how we do everything in our lives.
Well, we're getting out of it now, but we've been in such a sheltered culture, especially when it comes to children. Like, we protect them until we throw them out into the world, basically, right? As opposed to maybe seeing that opportunity where somebody says, okay, you know, why are you guys doing this? Or, you know, let's say we have a five-year-old and, you know, fast forward 5 years, and she has her own Instagram page and she does something, and somebody says, oh, why do you always do that? It could be a teachable moment as well.
Right.
It could be a way to say, listen, some people have, you know, a different opinion, and are you going to, you know, in a constructive manner, you know, deal with that? Or are you going to, you know, shed light on the fact that somebody's just talking bad against you? Or now, to me, it's a teachable moment, and to be able to teach our child earlier rather than later how to deal with these situations, I think, is better for us.
Yeah.
And then ultimately better for her, because I think she would become more well-rounded in saying, you know what, somebody has a different opinion than me, but why? You know, let's talk about the whys. I mean, we've definitely had our fair share of people coming and saying very negative things online. And, you know, depending on how far they're pushing the envelope, you know, it can either be like, okay, we'll just, you know, not, you know, block you.
Block, delete, right.
Or, you know, take that opportunity to say, but what about this? What about that? Let's talk about it. And we've had a few people that we've had to kind of, you know, sick the troops on. Mm-hmm. And we've had people that, like, you know, said, you know, I understand your point. I'm sorry for, you know, my initial statement or comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if we see it as a teachable moment, as a way that we can, you know, help our baby girl learn and grow, I don't see anything wrong with it.
I agree. Yeah. I don't think that kids should be experiencing what cyberbullying feels like for the first time when they're like a teenager, when they're finally able to do it and they don't know how to respond to it, and they just, I don't know, they don't really know what to do. Yeah. You know, I feel like it is better to just experience life itself, not just the internet. Like, people are people. They're always going to have something to say, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
But the only thing you can do is just control how you feel about it and just understand maybe they're going through something's wrong with them, and that should kind of just be the end of that conversation.
And I got to be honest, there's nothing more satisfying to me when I hear somebody of younger years say something so profound, like, or so sympathetic, or, you know, I forget this woman from Switzerland, the climate...
Greta Thunberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is a force.
She's a force to be reckoned with, and I'm sure she's been that way for the last 5 years, 10 years or something like that. But, like, when I hear somebody like that speak the way she does, with passion, with force, with knowledge, I mean, my faith in humanity, you know, get solidified a bit more, you know. And I think, you know, teaching how to deal with certain scenarios is way better than, like you said,
you can't try to avoid it.
Yeah, you can't try to avoid it because somebody will fill that void. Something will fill that void.
Yeah.
And if it's not common sense and love and, you know, banter, then it could be, you know, some form of supremacy, some form of extremism, you know. And even with that, you know, people have a right to feel the way that they want to feel. It's how it makes you feel. How can you articulate, you know, the difference between your two positions? And the earlier we teach that, I think, you know, we're better off as a human race, really.
Yeah.
Not to go so big, but.
No, but I agree with you. And I think that one of the best things about social media is it is a connector. It's the great connector right now. And one of the worst things is that it's also a divider. You know, I mean, it brings people together and it tears them apart, which I feel like was a line from some like popular radio show or something at one point, right? Yeah. What I love about the two of you is that you seem like you are in sync. And you don't meet a lot of couples that seem like they're not only meant to be together, but you, I don't want to say think for each other, but you know, almost like your souls are connected. So I don't know what you guys did together to foster that, but it works. And I just hope that your daughter, whenever she arrives, hopefully at 40 weeks and not before, absorbs that, because you guys are just a really special and beautiful couple. And we're so excited that you were not only able to chat with me today, but like share your experience with people, because I think they're going to learn a lot. I think oftentimes we see these beautiful people on social media and we think they don't struggle, or they don't go through what we've been through, or she's a model, she's going to lose weight right away and bounce back. And I just hope that you guys can share your journey on social media, because it'll give a lot of other people, it'll give us mere mortals hope. My last question for you, because people are going to ask, we talked about social media, we talked about your passions.
Yeah.
Are you going to photograph the home birth?
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that.
But he probably has. He's like, I'm going to need something to do during those 6 hours.
I haven't. I mean, I plan on being as present for her as humanly possible. And I think that would probably be a moment when I probably wouldn't grab my camera. I mean, my camera. My phone is a different story.
Right.
You know, because you want to, there's documenting, and then there's like capturing full on. And for somebody who's a filmmaker, you know, she does not want me to go get my rig and the lights up in here. Like, wait, doctor, hold on, cut. Let's do that again.
Can you imagine?
Can you put it back in and try it again?
So you get a different angle.
Honey, I missed the shot. Yeah. Do you mind if we do a redo?
Exactly.
I don't
know.
Oh, God, help us all.
I don't know. I honestly, like, in talking to other mothers, from what I have heard, the last thing you're going to want in your face is probably a camera. You know, like with all this stuff going on, like, I think that may be the last thing I want. I think it wouldn't bother me to, get a picture once she comes out, or maybe if he can sneak it, that's fine. But I don't want it to be so obvious that
the
I'm
door
like,
just opened.
You know, what I mean?
I heard that. You heard it too, right?
Yeah, I want that to be something that's very in the moment and just live in this, and not be so focused on capturing my pain, and misery for years to come.
But the photojournalist in me says, how can you let that opportunity pass?
The pictures that I have seen are really beautiful.
Yeah,
if it's done right.
Yeah.
But I didn't want anybody taking a picture of me.
Yeah.
There was a part of me that didn't want to be there doing that. Right. You know, I didn't want anybody to photograph me doing that.
I don't even know what I'm going to look like that day. So that's my thing.
I'm sure you will look beautiful. I had top knot on top of the head. I had some makeup running down. My poor son came out to a sight. But
knowing us, we'd probably set up the time when we think it's going to happen, put the candles in, lower the lights, and then the baby doesn't come that day.
Right.
Yeah, 2 weeks
later. We'll shoot it with the phone.
Yeah. As long as it's safe, happy, healthy, that's all we care about.
That's all we care
about.
Exactly.
You know? Where can people find you if they want to check in on you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram mainly. I'm at fitstheworldcitizen.com. Well, not .com, but at FitzTheWorldCitizen. I still have a YouTube page here at Fox, and so, you know, I'll be airing some more stuff coming up.
I was going to say, when are we airing more stuff?
As soon as possible, but I've been kind of traveling to accumulate destinations. Mm-hmm. And right now I've been kind of focusing on Central America, South America, the Latin Caribbean, and we might go to Spain, actually, to kind of find the origins of this.
Do we know what part?
I'm a Madrid fan. Most of our friends are in Madrid, but you know, that said, I think we'd probably touch down in Madrid and then find some little town outside. Soon we're going to be doing kind of a deep dive into, you know, how the Latin culture, you know, got all the way over here and is so prevalent in our culture.
Yeah. Well, you can find me on Instagram as well. It's at Cool Kelsey, cool with a K. Pretty easy to find.
K-O-O-L.
That's right. I'm easy to find.
Okay, wonderful. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. This is All Good in the Motherhood with Teresa Priolo, part of the Fox 5 Podcast Network. This episode was recorded, edited, mixed, made awesome by Matt Onimus. The executive producers are myself, Matt Onimus, and Imad Ashgar. Byron Harmon is VP of News, and our vice president and general manager of Fox 5 is Lou Leone. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or comments, or you just want to say hi, reach out to me on Twitter at Fox5Teresa or on Facebook, Teresa Priolo NY. And stay tuned for our next episode.